You know, whether it's family relationships, whether it's marriage. We're going to talk about friends today. You know, we began talking about how do you deal with your marriage? You know, how do you deal with that relationship of marriage? And then how do you deal, you know, on Mother's Day, we talk about family. I don't know about you, but I had a weird family. Anybody else have a weird family? You know, I had a weird family, you know. It's, you know, just kind of crazy things. And today I want to talk about friendships and friends. We're going to end the series on how to our relationship with God, but I want to think about friends. How many friends do you have? How many friends do you want? What kind of friendship relationships do you have? And I'm not talking about how many friends you have on Facebook. Anybody got Facebook? You know, you got all these friends. I don't know, you know, and I get people asking me to be friends, and I don't know who they are. Anybody ever get those? You know, and I push on it and say, give me information, and it's some business guy at Walmart. It's like, I want to be your friend, you know? I don't even know who you are, you know? How do we deal with our friendships? And today, it's really hard to have friends, you know, and to build lasting and committed relationships. It's tough. We're busy. There's pulled in all sorts of different directions, and how do we wrestle with friendship? And so I began kind of thinking about that, and I kind of want to share a few things with you. And I want to begin by, you know, I like history, and I like watching documentaries on TV. I was watching one recently about the friendship and the relationship that Churchill and FDR had. Anybody know who FDR is? Anybody? You know, some of you might know, but I figure some of you might be too young to know. I don't know who FDR is, you know. But they talked about that friendship these two gentlemen had. It was really interesting to hear that dynamics. And then I looked at one that's way back in Israel's history. It's in some ancient writings. It's in the book of Samuel. If you have, well, you can kind of follow along there. And David was his name. David was going to be king of Israel. The current king was Saul. Saul was the current king of Israel. He had a son named Jonathan. And Saul kind of wanted his son Jonathan to become king. But the next king was going to be David. So Saul had a little problem with David. Saul despised David, pursued David, tried to kill David. Didn't want anything to do with David. But the interesting thing is, Saul's son named Jonathan was David's best friend. He was there for David. He warned David about his dad. My dad's out of control right now. Don't come around. You know, if my dad's for you, I'll send you this signal. If my dad's against you, I'll send you this signal. He sought to protect David. And I kind of looked at that relationship, and I found this scripture here. It reads this, 1 Samuel 18:1. It's in your outline. You can pull it out. You can kind of follow along. David and Saul finished talking, and soon David and Jonathan become best friends. Jonathan thought as much of David as he did of himself. I want to ask you, who's your best friend? Who's that friend that's close to you, that one that you share with, that one that you're enjoying life with? Who's that best friend? And now I want to kind of expand. I'm not going to talk about your spouse, okay? If you're married, let's get bigger than that, all right? You know, people always say their wife's their best friend. I don't know. Don't tell Laura, but I don't know. You know, I have other friends. She's pointing at me now. I got TV off out there, you know? But how do we deal with our best friend? I want us to think about that for a minute. Wouldn't it be nice to have a best friend like Jonathan that's walking with you through life, that some things life has storms in life and life has some trials in life and life's not going well. Somebody's saying something, somebody's doing something, but you got a friend that's walking with you through it. That's kind of what Jonathan was for David. And I think we all need those kinds of friends. We need those people in us. So I want to kind of be giving us some reasons for friends. Why do you need a friend? I've been told, I don't know, I look around here, I'm thinking anybody here's ever told me, but somebody's told me this, I don't need anybody. I just need Jesus. Well, I'm going to get news for you. Yes, you need Jesus, but you need more than Jesus, okay? You need relationships and you need friends. And I got like five reasons real quick. You got your outline. Let's go through these real quick. The first one is you need friends because you want to grow spiritually. You are not going to grow who God called you to be. You're not going to grow to be like Christ. You're not going to grow spiritually if you do not have friends. If you don't have those that you're walking with life through, those who are going to be with you and encourage you and strengthen you spiritually, you're just not going to grow spiritually without friends. Look at what it says in God's Word. I mean that I want us to help each other with faith. We have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Laura and I have always joked that Laura has more faith than I have. I'm more of a doer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm more of an attacker to jump at it, to just bullnose through it, and just go. Laura's one, God's got it, just relax, take it easy. And it's like, no, that's, you know. We have different kinds of faith, and we need those in our lives. We need those different kinds of faith in our life. And so if you want to grow, you want to be who God, and God purposed you to be and created you to be, you're going to have some friends in your life who add that different dynamics to your faith, that can encourage your faith, that can strengthen your faith. You know, sometimes my faith is stronger than Laura's, and sometimes Laura's faith carries us when mine does it. We need that faith with one another. And so you want to grow spiritually, you're going to have some friends in your life. The second one I put down here, if you're going to grow, and you're going to have relationships, because emotional support. I don't know about you, but for me, life is a roller coaster. Wouldn't it be nice if life just kind of went like this, just nice, smooth, we just kind of gradually go up, you know, a 5% grade, you know, just, yeah, we're just kind of cruising up the hill, you know, and, but I don't know about you, my life goes something like this. Anybody have a life? Anybody have a life like that? Well, you need somebody walking with you through that life, that emotional times in your, you need those that are there, that walk with you and support you and encourage you. They're with you. I heard somebody talking this week about two types of people. You have VDPs and VIPs, okay? A VDP is a very dependent person. Anybody have those in your lives? You know, they're like a sponge, suck it all out of you. Anybody got those? Now, you need to be part of their lives, okay? Don't say you don't get around them, because they need your support. But you also have VIPs, and those are very inspirational people in your life. Those who are going to encourage you, those who have an encouraging word, those who have an encouraging smile, that encouraging embrace, those that are there for you. See, we need that emotional support. Life is an emotional roller coaster, and you need those relationships with others. You just can't do it on your own. I printed out this week, I went home one day, and I printed out 59 one another's in the New Testament. Just type one another's and look, you know, love one another, honor one another, be devoted to one another, stop passing judgment on one another, accept one another, instruct one another, 59 of them. You can't do one another's without what? A one another. You know, you need those relationships, those who are going to be there with you and support you and encourage you. You need that emotional support. Because life is a roller coaster, and it's ups and downs. So you're going to grow spiritually, you need relationship. You want to grow emotionally, you need relationship. If you want health. Oh, did I read a scripture? Let me read that scripture. Don't let me run off and not read a scripture. Carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another. Be there to support one another emotionally. How about the next one? I put better health. Now, I'm going to get a verse in a minute. I don't want to forget a verse here like I did that one. But you know what? Let me give you a scientific fact. This is you can find this as a scientific fact. You will be healthier, you will heal faster, and you will live longer if you have quality friendships. It's a statistical fact. You know, I read as a pastor, I go to the hospital and pray with people. And the doctors will acknowledge somebody who has prayed from the hospital heal quicker. It's a fact. And so if you want to grow and you want to become a better person, you want to be a healthier person, you need friendships. And what's interesting about God's Word, He gives us positive things about friends, but He also warns us to be careful about other kinds of friends. And you got to be careful with your friendships. Look at what it says here. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, just real quick, you want forgiveness, you go see God. I told the kids at camp all the time, we were talking about mercy, because you get tired working at camp. You've seen the video going before. You know, I tell people all the time, you want mercy, see God, not me, okay? You need mercy, go talk to God. But if you want healing, you want forgiveness, but you want healing and support, you got to have other people in your life. You got to have somebody you can talk to somebody that you can be open with, somebody that you can share with, somebody who's going to encourage you, somebody who's going to pick you up, somebody's going to support you, somebody that's going to be there with you. And you need that. If you want to be healthier, you're going to have friendships in your life. And the next one I put down here is you got to have a social environment. Social enjoyment. You ever go somewhere by yourself and you're all by yourself and you're having a great experience and you ever go, I wish so-and-so was here with me. Anybody ever do something like that? I remember when Laura and I first came to the church, you know, we finally got away from our kids, okay? Anybody remember those days? You finally get away from the kids and we go to Reno. We got a cheap hotel because the hotel was, you know, the Circus Hotel was like $49, you know, and the food's cheap, you know, and so you're staying there, but we're running around. We go to the games, and it's like, man, we'd have fun with the kids here, you know, and we're trying to get away from the kids, and we want to bring the kids, you know. There's something about experiencing it with others. Life's more enjoyable when you got others with you. I read a thing that says, your joy is doubled when you do it with others, and your sorrows are cut in half when you experience them with others. I thought that was a good way to say it. See, that enjoyment of life comes with those relations with others. Then the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. See, there's something about being there and enjoying life and sharing life, the joys and the sadness together. And the last one I put down here is, you need relationships because if you want to reach your goals, you can't do it alone. You can't reach your goals all by yourself. You'll never be successful. I'm on a school board, and I've had this conversation with people all the time is, you know what? My kids cannot succeed unless somebody else's kids succeed too. You notice that? We got to help one another succeed. I can't accomplish what I couldn't come here this morning and by myself have a great worship experience. All right? Without the worship team that was up here a few minutes ago, it'd be really sad in here because I can't sing. I just can't do it. Yeah. If you want to reach your dream, you're going to need a team. Does that make sense? You need those relationships. I need these people. I tell them that all the time when they're praying beforehand. Thank God that they have gifts and talents. You know, because for some reason, God says, Gary, you don't need those. You know? And it's like, thanks, God. But you've been happy. See, we need those in our relationship. So here's five reasons you need. You want to grow spiritually? You need relationships. You want some emotional support? You need relationships. You want to have better health? You need relationships. You want to enjoy life more? You need relationships. You want to reach your goals? You need relationships. And yet, how hard is it to keep good relationships today? How tough is it to have relationships with your friends? You know, I have a group that meets on Wednesday night for Bible study, and I think it's real fun. Some of those guys are still talking to people they went to high school with. I know one. That's it. He had service. He's my neighbor, three doors down. That's it. You know, we got our reunions coming up. I forget which one it is. Is it 45 or something like that? I'm getting old. You know. And it's coming up, and, you know, come and see a classmate thing. And it's like, why would I go? I don't know anybody. You know, is it hard making lasting friendships? Is it hard building those relationships? And yet we need them. So how do we get those relationships? You know, how do I build lasting relationships? Now, I got some guys I went to college with. That's why I like going to the convention for our association and stuff. I get to see guys I went to school with. You know, and how they're doing, and, you know, and just different aspects. But how do we build these relationships? Where do we go for these relationships? And as I thought about that, I remembered one of the teachers when I was in elementary school, Peter Burnett. See, I can still remember. You know, Peter Burnett. The teacher wrote this thing called, what was it called? The Golden Rule on the board. And I didn't know what the Golden Rule was, you know. And she wrote this Golden Rule on the board. Do unto others before they do it to you. Isn't that how it goes? Well, not how we act, all right? No, do unto others as you would have them do to you. I was wondering as I thought about that, as I was writing the message, I was wondering, you know, I wonder if they could write that on the board, because, you know, that's biblical. You know, I don't know, can the school write that anywhere? Here's what the Bible says. Here's how it says it in the Bible. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Do to others as you'd have them. You want to build friendships, it's based on the golden rule. You want to build lasting, awesome friendships, those that will share life and share its journey, the joys and the happiness, and enjoy all of life together. You're going to do that with the golden rule. And so I pulled six things out to help us do that, okay? Six things that can help us build lasting, awesome relationships. And the first one is really tough in today's world. I don't know about you, but it's really tough. Some of you might already know what goes in that blank, right? Invest your time. All right? I don't know about you. I don't have enough time in a day. Anybody? Yesterday morning, Laura and I got up, got around, left the house. I got up and washed my car, got my car all cleaned up. You know, 9 o'clock, we get in the car, we go to Sacramento, Laura's mother's birthday, 85 years. She had an 85th birthday, people from Arkansas, and everybody's there. Spent all afternoon there. Left at 3:20 to get back for a wedding at 5 o'clock. So we drove back from Sacramento, and I couldn't believe the traffic. You know, we had stop-and-go traffic on a Saturday. You know, it's like, I got to get back, you know, and run home. Change clothes. Laura's ironing clothes. I'm carrying stuff in the house while she irons my clothes. You know, I get dressed, go to the wedding. We get done with the wedding. I come back, drop some stuff off here at church, go home, shorts on, sit down. My daughter calls and says, hey, we put a fire pit in the back. The kids are making s'mores. You want to come over? Of course I want s'mores. You know? So put shoes on, short t-shirt. I didn't look very good, so nobody looked. You know, went over there and watched my grandkids make s'mores, nice little fire pit they put in their backyard. Walk in the house a little after 8 o'clock. Anybody have days like that? How do you build friendships and invest time in days like that? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, part of it is to build friendships. You know? Yeah, I got to race back from Sacramento to have some other friends that we know getting married. I've known the young lady for years. It's an exciting time in her life, and we got to enjoy that with her and celebrate with her. But you got to invest time. You're going to have to spend some time. If you want relationships, they do not happen accidentally. Okay? Listen to me. If you want lasting, awesome relationship, it's not going to be accident. Well, I just bumped into so-and-so. It won't work that way. You're going to have to invest some time. You're going to have to invest some energy. Relationships are not cheap. You build them. And you construct them, and you invest in them. And you spend time. You show up. You stop. You do it. But you've got to do that. I like this scripture. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. If you say you don't have friends, I'll tell you where the problem is. It's not them. It is you. And so we need to work on our friendships, and we need to invest in others. Here, I like this because this is so true. Do not be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. You want to make friends? Ask them what they're doing. What are they interested in? You know, that's what I love. I love learning all about all sorts of different things. You know? I've tried to play golf, so I'm interested in golf. I'm interested in, you know, somebody gets a plane. I enjoy that. I'm interested in, you know, all sorts of stuff. I got a Don Leonetti. I enjoy Don Leonetti. Used to be here. They live in Tennessee now. I'll call him and give him a bad time. NASCAR is running right now. He's into NASCAR. You know, I don't watch NASCAR too much, but, you know, I'm not big on sports, but if you like the Giants, I'm going to aggravate you and root for the Dodgers. All right. You want to talk about baseball? I'll talk about it, you know. You want to root for the 49ers? Come on, Cowboys. We'll just take you down. You know? You know, we build our relationship. We invest our time, and you know, I'm interested in what you're interested in, you know? And yeah, no, you know, yeah, you're a big football fan, baseball fan. You're rooting for who's that team over in Oakland right now playing basketball? The Warriors. Did they win last night? I thought they tonight. Tonight. Oh, okay. Well, I kind of root for them because they got a good Christian guy on their team, so that kind of pulls me that way, you know. Yeah, but we talk about, you know, find things that you know, what are they interested in? Spend some time talking about those things and enjoying those things. It's not just about you. Well, I can't wait to go tell them what I did. Yeah. I always like the old TV shows when they come in. We're going to come on over. We took pictures. We're going to show you all these slides. Remember the slide projector? You know, sit there for 2 hours watching somebody's slides of vacation. It's like, come on, we got to go see them tonight. They're going to show us all those. Yeah. Anybody? How about being interested in them? All right. How about the second one I put down here is you got to earn their trust. Trust is not just given. Trust is earned. And you earn trust. You earn trust by being there. You earn trust by showing up. You earn trust as time goes by. You build trust. Look at what it says here. Many people declare themselves loyal, but who can find someone who is really trustworthy? You ever have somebody, I'll be there, and they never show up? You can count on me. And you know, even when they said it, they ain't going to be here. We need trustworthy. That's a foundation of friendship, is trust. And here's three ways to show it, all right? I want to make sure you know what does trust mean. It means being reliable. You can count on them. They're going to be dependable. When they said it, they're going to show up. You know that rule. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late. That's a rule. Remember that. With me, if you show up on time, you're late. You need to be 5 minutes early at the minimum. You know, I'm crazy there, all right? You know, OCD, I don't know what you might call that. But they're reliable. They're there. They're going to be there. They're going to be dependable. You know, they're going to keep their word. You know, they're not going to be wishy-washy. They're there. Reliable friends do what they say are like cool drinks in sweltering heat, refreshing. Reliable friends are a blessing is a word I just put there. They're there. They're going to be there. You can always know when something happens. They're going to be the one who calls. They're going to be the one who shows up. They're reliable. Trust also means being loyal. Being loyal. You ever have a friend that joins you, but then somebody else comes up over here, they go over to that person. You ever been around those friends? Fair weather friend? Is that what it's called? Anybody know what you know what I'm talking about? Fair weather friend? You know, when things go. I remember, growing up, being here in Salida so long, I can remember stories when drugs are an issue and the guy would get his money would come in. You know, he would get his Social Security or he'd get his money. All his friends would be over. Because he had the money. And then 5, 10, 20, 10 days later, the money's all gone. Guess what's all gone besides the money? The friends. You need loyal friends that they're going to be there. They're always going to be there. You know, that they're going to support you and walk with you. They're going to sacrifice for you. And look at what it says. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in a time of need. We don't see much loyalty today. You know, I remember now when I grew up, there wasn't all these kind of cars you can choose from. Anybody? There was Fords and Chevys. Anybody remember those days? You either had a Ford or a Chevy, and you were loyal to that car. If you had a Ford, you bought a Ford all your life. And if you were a Chevy guy, you bought a Chevy truck. You didn't buy a Ford truck. They're found on road dead. Come on, you want a Chevy truck. You know? And if you were a Ford guy, you bought the Ford, you know? And then you shopped at certain companies, you know, we're loyal. We don't see that loyalty today, do we? But friendship has loyalty to it. You earn that because they're loyal. And the last one I put here, if you want to have friendship, they're going to keep your confidence. They're going to keep your confidence. Every one of us needs a person that we can be open with, you know, that we can share our heart hurts. We can share our wounds. We can share our fears. We can share our worries. We don't have to worry. If I tell them that, they're not going to want to be around me anymore. You know, if they knew this, they wouldn't want to talk to me anymore. You know, a true friend is there no matter what. You can share those hurts and those wounds and those fears. You can share those doubts because you know they're not going to dump you. They're not going to run off from you. They're not going to bail on you. You got confidence in them, you know. And when you tell them something, you know what? It stays there. You know, it doesn't go anywhere. You know, what's there stays here. You know, I don't care what they say about Las Vegas. What happens in Las Vegas, not stay in Las Vegas, okay? Guarantee you, it gets out. But in friendships, it stays there. A gossip tells everything, but a true friend will keep a secret. Isn't that a great verse? Gossip tells everything. Here's the thing to know about gossip, okay? If somebody gossips to you, you probably heard this one, they're probably what? Gossiping about you, okay? You know, it's just the way it goes. If they're talking to you about somebody, they're probably them about you. See, a true friendship builds that trust because they keep that confidence. Reliable, loyal confidence builds lasting relationships because you have that trust. You have that trust in them. The next thing I put down here, and I struggled as I put this list together, do I put them in any kind of order? But I put this one down. Listen with empathy. Listen needs to be really high on the list. Because we need people to listen to us. We wanted people to hear us. Which means if I want somebody to listen to me, guess what I ought to do? Listen to them and shut up. Somebody said shut up. Yeah, that's true. You know, I need to listen to them. I need to be one to. Now, how many of you could sit there right now? You're listening to me. But you're thinking, where are we going to go eat for dinner? Come on, don't raise your hand. Don't. Or, why did I come this Sunday? I wish I would have stayed in bed. Somebody's talking. How many of us are, now, how am I going to respond to them? Your mind's processing what you're going to say before they even finish talking. Anybody ever do that? Yeah. We need to, one of the rules I've tried to learn, you notice I said tried to learn? Is it called a 3-second rule? Is I'm not going to speak till 3 seconds after they stop. You have a telephone call? Now, this is me. They're talking and you start talking and it's like, well, wait, okay, you go ahead and finish and then I'll talk. Anybody ever do something like that? We need to learn to listen with empathy. Now, I'm putting empathy in there, not just listen. I added that word empathy for a reason. We need to listen not only to words, but we need to listen with our eyes. What is their body language saying? No, I'm not mad. Yeah. Come on now. We need to listen to the tone. I'm fine. We need to listen with empathy. Kind of step into the middle of that and, be in their shoes. What do they have to say? And why are they saying, I have those 3 B's. These 3 B's have really spoke to my, that one 40-day study. And these 3 B's really have really implanted in my life. When I'm dealing with somebody, I think about these 3 B's. Battles, backgrounds, and burdens. When I'm talking with somebody and they're responding in certain ways and they're doing certain things and they're saying things, what are the battles? Why are they saying it? What's going on? What's the battle? Is there a financial battle in their life right now? Is their marriage in a battle right now? What's their battle? What's their burden right now? Is there a health issue? Is there a financial burden right now? What's going on? And then what's the background? Where were they raised? What happened when they were growing up? And those 3 B's really speak. And so when I listen, I kind of have that going on, and I'm trying to hear through those kind of filters. And that's empathy. I'm just not hearing. I have empathy. I'm trying to understand and not just hear. And that's hard. I'm going to be honest. That's hard for a guy because guys want to be. Somebody said it. I got a video I showed a long time ago. And I love this video. So some of you have never seen it. Some of you might have seen it. So enjoy this video with me real quick. I'll come back to the verse.
Trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this.
You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail.
See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like there's this achy, I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
On. If you would just
don't
try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on?
What do you guys think? Anybody ever had those kind of discussions? You know, we want to fix things. We don't listen, you know, and it's a battle and it's a struggle. And I showed that video a long time ago, and I'm going, I got to show that one again. I think many of you probably hadn't seen it. It's like, how do we, you know, we got to learn to listen. Listen to what is God's word. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Now, I don't know about you, but just to be honest, I usually do those backwards. Anybody else in that one? Quick to anger, blow it off, and then maybe slowly listen. Anybody ever do it backwards? You know? We need to kind of listen. Listen with empathy. You want to build friendships? Are you listening? You know? Don't try to fix it. Just hear what they're saying and listen with empathy. You know, take some time and invest some time. Be that trustworthy friend and listen with empathy. And the next one I put here is you got to accept their flaws. No one is perfect. Am I right? But do we sometimes expect perfection out of certain people? You know, you ever get mad at your spouse because they're not perfect? Yeah. You know they're not perfect. But yet, if they would just, anybody ever do any? Yeah. How about this one? I always think this one's fun. I don't know about you, but this is, you know, you're dating somebody, you're engaged to somebody, you know, and they have that certain way of flipping their hair, or you know, or they do something really cute. You think it's cute, you know? Isn't it cute how she or does, you know? And then you marry them, and then 5 years later they go like that, and it just drives you crazy. You know what I'm saying? You know, you thought it was cute, and now it's just... We all have flaws. None of us are perfect. We all have failures. We have faults. There's things in our life that mess us up. There's things going on in our life. And it's just who we are, and it's what has made us to be. And nobody's perfect. And if you want to build lasting friendships, you're going to move past that to see the good things. And again, I want to say, it's not a matter of, well, do they have more good things than bad things? Honestly, I'm going to tell you, I probably have more bad things in my life than good things. Anybody else in that boat? You know, there's probably more flaws and failures in my life than good things. Fortunately, Laura always looks at the good thing. I tell her all the time, she gives me my clothes, laid out my clothes. I said, I make anything look good when I leave on stage. You know, she just laughs at me. We all have issues. We all have flaws. And I like this. Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Accept one another. It doesn't mean I approve of everything. We have this discussion. You know what? Okay, I'm going to say it. Get me in trouble. Ladies, excuse me. You know, they have these jeans now, you know, that just, anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, you buy them that way. I used to throw those away, you know, and my wife wears them to work. But there's other teachers that are wearing them to work. And it's like, this is professional. Just irritates me. Anybody get irritated? Yeah? We all have flaws, and we all have things that irritate one another. But you know what I love is I get up this morning and hanging on the counter right there is my shirt and my pants, you know, underwear and socks and t-shirt laying right there. So do I yell about the pants, or do I, man, thank you, Jesus, I got a wife who lays my clothes out and irons my shirts. I don't have to iron my shirt. You know? How many of you guys are so blessed woke up this morning, your clothes were ironed and laying there for you this morning. We go on a trip and I don't even know what I have. I went to camp, to clean up camp, and you know, my backpack, yeah, your backpack, okay. I don't know what's in my bag. Yeah. I go in, pants, shirt, because I'm colorblind, you know, it's all, you know, all taken care of. You know, it's just one day, I don't need any extra clothes. She goes, what if you fall in the river? I'm packing you extra underwear and everything. I don't need it, you know. But she takes care, you know. I could talk about wearing the raggedy pants that aggravate me, or I can just, you know, God, I am so blessed with a woman that takes care of me. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's so easy to point out the flaws, isn't it? Yeah. We need to start thinking about all the good things and appreciate the good things and enjoy the good things that God has given us with our friends. You know, they bring different things in our life. And, you know, I look at the friends that have done things for me. We were talking, when we were gone, they remodeled our house. A bunch of the guys and ladies in the church got together and remodeled. Lord, we go for a conference, we come back, and I got a TV, built-in TV stand, and a new cabinet. And I got Mickey and Minnie painted in the wall in the kitchen, and all. And my house is all redone. Now, I couldn't do any of that myself. I can't cut a straight line. I can take. You know, you want a board cut? I can cut your board, okay? But don't ask it to be straight. All right? You know, I can run a skill saw. I run them all the time. You know? We all do different things, and we need to appreciate the differences and enjoy those differences. Look at what it says here in God's Word in Proverbs. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. It's going to drive a wedge. It's going to drive a wedge in there. How about this next one here? It says, celebrate the wins and share this. If you want friends, celebrate the wins and share a lot. Don't just celebrate your wins, all right? Celebrate their wins. I'm looking forward to, got a couple of weeks here, and Grigori's going to graduate, you know? And I got a couple of kids in our church that are going to graduate. Guess where I'm going? I'm going to go to graduation because some of our kids are graduating. You know? And some of the kids are going to graduate the middle school. I get to go there. Matter of fact, they got to shake my hand. All right. You know? And I want to celebrate those times and enjoy those times. Went to the wedding yesterday. I've known Brenda for probably 30 years. Went to her and Raymond's wedding yesterday and enjoyed that. Got the free food, too. Got free lunch at the birthday party and got free dinner at the wedding. Isn't that nice? But we go to celebrate those things, you know? And we celebrate that people are enjoying. And, you know, if you only celebrate yours, you're only going to have so much to celebrate. If you celebrate everybody's celebration, you can celebrate all the time. There's something to celebrate all the time. But not only do you celebrate the good things, but you also share the losses. You're there when things aren't well, when things don't go well. You know, you show up when things aren't quite working. And like I said, I went and prayed with somebody in the hospital. I enjoy praying with people. I enjoy that opportunity just to go and share and visit and, you know, and to be there. But, you know, and we share in those losses. You're there, you know, and maybe you just send a text. You know, maybe you send a card. You know, my dad passed away and it was nice. I got several cards that are still sitting on my desk in the office. When my dad passed away, those things that just, and so you celebrate and you share. Look at what it says in God's Word. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You want to have friends. You want to have awesome friends. You be the friend. You step into the midst of life and joys and celebrate. And then when somebody hurts, you cry and you weep and you sit there with them. I'm going to tell you, this is why I like small group. This is why I like our church. You know, we have this kind of thing in our church. We talk about you need three things in your life. I'm going to get to it again in the message. You need a church family. You need a small group fellowship. And you need somebody who can say the hard things to you. You need those relationships in your life. Look at what it says again in Corinthians. If one part of the body suffers, all of the other parts suffer with it. If one part is praised, all the other parts share its happiness. Isn't it fun to celebrate with others? I had a good time yesterday with Laura's. Her aunt came all the way out from Arkansas. Her mother's sister was there, two, one from Arizona, one from up in the mountains, and I got to see them, good Christians, had great conversations, and just sharing and celebrating the birthday yesterday. And then go to the wedding that we'd been expecting and anticipating and looking forward to, and to enjoy that. See, there's something about that. How about this last one? Let me get to this. Bring out the best. Bring out their best. Friendships bring out the best in others. They bring out the strengths and the good things in others. And that's what friendship does, and it makes us better. Your friends should make you better. I'm a better person because of the friends I've had and the friends I have. I'm a different person because of them. I like this scripture here. Just as iron sharpens irons, friends sharpen the minds of each other. We sharpen one another. We make each other better. We know there's something special, and we're there for one another, and we're supporting and encouraging one another. Look again at God's word. Giving an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. You know, you're encouraging, you're inspiring. And I want you to circle that honest answer. You know, I say this, and I mean that. You got to have somebody who can tell you the hard things. You know, I've had somebody come to me and say, Gary, you're being a jerk. You know what? I was being a jerk. I needed somebody to tell me that. You ever been to somebody tell you something you didn't want to hear? You know, you need it. You know, you need those kinds of friends who's going to be honest with you, but they're going to be with you. Gary, watch out. Be careful if you go this way. Think about what you're saying, Gary. We need friends like that are willing to step us and kind of warn, you know, hey, wake up, slow down, think about this, watch what you're saying. You know, I preach, and sometimes I say something, and I have to call and apologize later. You know, it's Gary, you said that, and I is that how it came out? Oh, man. I got that cow disease, hoof and mouth. You know, I get my foot in my mouth all the time. But you need friends who can say that to you. Look again, truly a good friend will openly correct you. They'll be there. See, what I want you to know, if you want to be a friend, if you want friends, you have to be a friend. If you don't have any friends, I'm going to tell you, the best place to start is with you, not with them. Invest the time. All right? Invest the time. Celebrate. Bring out the best. Be there. Show up. Be a friend. I put this scripture there because I thought it was a great way to end. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. And as I thought about it, you know who the best friend is? His name is Jesus. You know what? He overlooks all our flaws. He lovingly welcomes us. He calls us. He's going to be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, to me, that the closest friend you can have is Jesus. And so I just want to encourage us this walk with Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, it's hard to have friends if you don't have a foundation in Jesus. It's hard to trust. It's hard to believe the best in others. It's hard to overlook the flaws in others. It's hard to bring out the best in others if you don't have Jesus. And so I wanted to end with this. You want to be a friend. You want friends. Be a friend. But it begins when Jesus is your best friend. What do you think? What do you think? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that you are a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That you're a friend that never leaves nor forsakes. That you're a friend that overlooks our flaws, our faults. That you don't overlook our sin, you forgive it. It's the way as far as the east is from the west. You cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Lord, thank you for being a friend to each of us. But help us be a friend to others. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you're wrestling in some relationship. Maybe it's a relationship in your home, maybe a spouse, maybe a child. Maybe there's a relationship that's really difficult and challenging. Maybe at school, Maybe there's a teacher. I don't know. Maybe you're just, there's just some battles. And you want me to pray for you and say, you know, pray for my relationship. Will you shoot your hand up and say, pray for my relationship? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands of these who want strong, awesome relationships. And there's things that cause disturbances, that cause battles. There's things that cause discomfort. There's things that drive a wedge in that relationship. So I'm going to ask you to pull it out. That your grace and your mercy will set upon that relationship. That we can see one another, whether we're looking at them or they are looking at us, that they can see one another through the eyes of Jesus Christ, of compassion and care and love and forgiveness. Or that we can drop all the pretenses of our world and turn and build this relationship on the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, let us, as Paul writes, do all we can to live at peace with everyone and leave the rest in the hands of God in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.